the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ha ha, and it's a Tuesday. Hey, we love Tuesdays around here, because gotta laugh is back. Yeah, baby. Tuesdays are fun again. Now, I don't know if we're going to have another Tuesday like we did last Tuesday. But we can always try. You never know. All right. I don't have a whole lot of stuff to talk about without Laffy here. This has been it's been a weird day. So I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm going to hit it. It being our theme song. You ready? Here we go.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
You know, we got the whole hour. We may as well use it. Hello, Gotta Laugh.
Hi. I nearly didn't make it here today.
You didn't?
I was binge watching clips of Biden with British royalty, and I got sidetracked imagining how long it took him to get up from his curtsy. I'm here all night, folks.
Yeah, baby.
Try the veal.
And I didn't even screw it up this time. I was ready. I was ready with the rim shot. We got it going. Hey, babe.
I'm waiting for you to put on a video and just have it run through the whole show again.
A video.
Remember, you couldn't get that to stop last week?
Oh, God, yes. And
it just went
It kept going. Now, yeah, it was the audio. Every time I'd go to pot up something from that computer, I just know better than to hit, a 15-minute long clip and then close the window because YouTube keeps playing. But you know what? This is not video, but I got some exclusive audio of, poor BB. BB be gone. BB be gone.
Good riddance. Bye-bye, BB.
Yes. In fact, yesterday I started a song. Bye-bye, BB. Israelis got you now. They threw you out of office. Fourth time is a charm. Or is it the fifth? I don't know. Anyway, so, his buddy, and did you notice how he tried to use the Donald Trump playbook? It's a fraud. Oh, yeah. It's a hoax. It was a sham. It was all fixed. I'm going to be back. I'll be back. Well, there's a secret phone call. There's audio out there, believe it or not, of Donald Trump talking, consoling Bibi Netanyahu. You ready?
I'm ready.
It here. Here we go.
Donald, you told me if I said fake news, they wouldn't remove me from power in Israel.
I was very surprised, Bibi. What you should have done is have your supporters, especially the stupid ones, just charge the capital and refuse to let you leave.
Yes, I remember your counsel, but we don't have as many stupid people in Israel as you do in America.
That's
unfortunate that Israel doesn't have so many stupid people. You should really look into getting more stupid people if you want to stay in power longer.
So tell Ron DeSantis to send us 20,000 of his worst morons, and we will expedite Israeli citizenship.
For your great friendship, I will ask Ron DeSantis, our great governor of Florida, if he can spare 10 or 20,000 morons to send over to Israel.
No, actually, they're all in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. Oh, so, God.
And now
Ron DeSantis is asking people to what? Do a moment of silence?
Yeah, and not only asking people, I don't know if it was an executive order because the legislative session is over. But I read it in the Miami Herald this morning that apparently he has put into effect a moment or two of silence at the beginning of every school day in Florida.
Oh, is that at the beginning of every school day?
The beginning of every school day. It's for school children.
Because he's indoctrinating the children.
Yes, exactly. Oh, you didn't get the school part. Yes, it's a school thing. In fact, I wonder if I have it in here. I'm going to look because I'm on these, you know, a couple of Florida news sites. And I generally these days don't even read the newsletters that they send me in the morning because I see Florida and it's like, I can't take it anymore.
Right. You don't want it. Yeah.
I do Goodbye. Not want it. In fact, tonight is the monthly meeting of the Broward County, Broward Democratic Party. And it's on Zoom. And because I'm a precinct committee person, which I'm rapidly losing patience with.
I was just going to say, are you regretting that?
Yeah, I am. Because, you know, our ploy to take over the Florida Democratic Party with progressives didn't quite work. Some counties did very well. Broward, uh-uh. And the Broward County Democratic Party leadership is horrible. They're just awful. So, you know, the meetings, the monthly meetings are still on Zoom and they have them at 7 o'clock. So we're usually in the middle of dinner. So I come in here in my studio, I sign on to the Zoom call, usually go on a little early, get it started, close my camera and go inside.
Or you should get a little cardboard cut out of yourself and stick it in front of the camera. Maybe occasionally have one of those little wave hands that
right.
go like this.
Yeah. No, the thing is I mute my mic. And I turn my camera off, and what shows is my logo, my Nicole Sandler yep. Show logo. So that shows, so it looks like I'm there. But these are not meetings like everybody gets to participate and weigh in. It's you have speakers. So they don't know if I'm there or not. So as far as they know, I'm there, but I'm not.
How ineffective all that
horrible.
Sounds.
It's all
terrible.
Just, it's stupid. It's just Aye. Stupid. But it's Florida. See, Donald yeah. got something. BB got yeah. something right. Yeah. You know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Just terrible.
So what's new in your world? Go yeah. ahead. You tell me.
No, I was just going to say it's really, really hot. It's hot, hot, and droughty and kind of smoggy, and my eyes are burning.
And can I tell you something? You know, it is June, and June in Florida, it should be like 95 degrees out. But we must have a cold front coming through or something because it's been raining all day. And that's another thing. In Florida, it usually doesn't rain all day. You get like cloudbursts and then it stops and it clears up. But it's been rainy and cool all day. It's 75 degrees here, which is unheard of in South Florida in June.
So in June here, it's usually not heard of to be this hot. It's going to be 107 in the San Fernando Valley, which is not far from here. And usually in June, we get the June gloom, which means the mornings are just overcast.
Right. I know. I remember the June gloom. Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
And then by afternoon, because it's been gloomy all morning, it really doesn't get that hot. And I remember last summer, we really had kind of a cooler summer overall. I remember it not being really hot until August, where it got, you know, to like 112, 113, 114 for a couple of days. But I just remember thinking, when is it really get? I mean, it got hot, but not crazy hot.
Right.
So everything's goofed up. But we are definitely in a perpetual drought, and we're going to have a perpetual fire season.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I'm perpetually waiting to go to Canada. So, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, I don't envy you that. Okay. So apparently it is a law.
It's a law.
Governor Ron DeSantis, or death sentence, as we, you know, affectionately refer to him, signed a law requiring all kindergarten through 12th grade schools in Florida to hold a moment of silence. He announced it during a news conference yesterday in Surfside, rich area of Miami Beach, touting the measure as a way of allowing students to, quote, reflect and be able to pray as they see fit.
Isn't that like church state stuff?
Yeah. And the news conference, you'll love this, was held at the shul of Bal Harbour.
Really?
Yes, which was delayed after death sentence's plane was diverted because of bad weather. And it included the signing of two religious bills into law. One of them, House Bill 805, works to ensure that faith-based volunteer ambulance services have the support they need to continue operating in the state if they have been in the state for 10 years and meet many standards. And then the second one is this one, which requires all Florida schools to hold a daily moment of silence.
Well, the kids are not going to be praying. The kids are going to be going, oh, good, another moment where I don't have to do schoolwork.
Right. Yep.
I mean, I remember we used to have times where we had to be quiet for whatever reason in school. Well, and nobody prayed.
Right. And this is the church-state part here. The bill noted that a teacher cannot suggest whether a student should sit quietly and reflect, meditate, or pray. At least 1 minute will have to be set aside in the first period of each day.
1 minute.
1 minute.
That's the DeSantis minute.
The death sentence minute.
The death sentence minute. Oh my God. Well, little by little, I mean, when we're talking about this ridiculous, you know, we're laughing and it's stupid, but little by little, all these little laws and all these little introductions of their own norms, I guess you would call them. And this one isn't a norm, it's a law. Just keep chipping away and chipping away and chipping away until pretty soon we're all sitting there having to pray for an hour. And if you don't, you get thrown in jail. And if you're a woman, you get put up in a pillory. And
it is creeping authoritarianism.
It definitely is.
Exactly what
it is.
And
it's religious. It's theocracy. Hello.
Yep. Hello. It is.
Yeah.
It
theocracy. So,
is.
Yeah. Not happy about this at all. That's terrible.
No. So let me. So here's what I was going to tell you before. Last week, I told you that this weekend we were having a date. We were going to this immersive Van Gogh thing.
Yes. Yes.
So I wake up Saturday morning, all pumped, ready to go. We have reservations at this great restaurant down in Miami. I open my email and it's like, it's postponed.
Oh,
what?
Geez.
So apparently, I didn't even realize this. I guess I got tickets for opening weekend. Who knew? And some of the stuff didn't make it yet. Thank you, Louis DeJoy, because apparently the post office fucked up. So all of the installation stuff didn't get there in time, so they had to postpone the opening. So
do you think they'll have a moment of prayer when it finally opens and you all go?
I think it's open already, but now I have to get new tickets, but it gets better. So
An
app. The app is called Fever, and you have to get the tickets through the app. Well, I got the original tickets through the app, and now this email tells me tickets are canceled because we're not open today. So there's a voucher in your account in the app. The other tickets are canceled. Use that voucher to get the tickets that you want going forward. So I go through, I finally figure it out. And I do it. And then I look at the app and I see I only have one ticket. And they have it at times. So, you know, it's staggered. So only so many people go through at a time. Apparently, I only purchased one ticket, not two, for the 4:30 p.m. showing. We're now looking at July 10th because everything is filled up and I want to go on a Saturday. So I go back in and I was like, oh, that's no problem. I'll just purchase a second ticket. Well, there were no tickets available for the 4:30 showing. So I got one for 5. And then I'm thinking, are they not going to let us in together? You can't get a human being because it's an app that sells the tickets. So
right.
I did a help request and they were emailing me back. Well, you can cancel the tickets. You know, we'll give you another voucher and it may take a day or two to get in your account and you cancel the other ones and you get the new ones. I'm like, I don't want to lose the ticket that I have. I want to just be able to just mush them together, move one from 4:30 to 5 or the other from 5 to 4:30 and make it so.
Right.
Days have gone by. Finally, today, you know, I sent them another email. It's like, this has been the worst experience. It's like, I just wanted to go to the Van Gogh thing. And it's still not resolved. So now they're telling me that you can't go in. If one ticket is for 4:30 and one is for 5, you will not be able to go in together. So you need to do what I'm telling you to do, which is take the voucher whenever we get it to you and purchase the new tickets and we'll cancel the old ones. Well, great. Now I'm looking at probably July 17th or after that, if I can even get tickets for a Saturday. So the nice, relaxing Saturday date we had planned didn't happen, and now I'm all stressed.
Well, that's a story.
Yeah. That's why.
How frustrating.
Isn't it?
It's like trying to call somebody and getting press 1, press 2, press 3, press 4, press 5.
Yes,
press 6.
And no way to get a human being.
Exactly.
And that's...
Some company just sent me a survey about how they did. I usually don't fill those out, but I decided to. And they said, so what suggestions would you make? And I said, well, one suggestion would be to have like a real person
talk.
Hello. You know what? It was Twitter. It was Twitter. I said, you guys used to be able to, it wasn't to talk to, it was to email with. When I used to fill out a ticket on Twitter, if something was wrong, a glitch in my, you know, where I couldn't get on or something, they would have somebody email you and then you could have a discussion back
right,
and forth.
Right.
And it was very rewarding. It was extremely rewarding. I would develop relationships. But it was, you know, it really was rewarding in that they would make an effort to help you. And you could talk to a person and explain in detail what was going on. Like this morning, I was trying to get onto Twitter and I kept entering my, password. And then I had my second thing where they text you and you put the code
number
in. Oh,
right.
The
two-step verification, because that's
right.
Everything now, right?
Kept going back to enter your password, start again. And I was like, what? And so anyway, I thought, well, I'm just going to give it a try and just refreshing. And then it got me on. Like it was just a total glitch. And then I couldn't reply to anybody.
Yeah.
And it was another total glitch. Anyway, I got through all of it. It was just a bunch of glitches in a row. But I couldn't, like, there was, you know, there's just things like that where you want to call somebody or write to somebody and say, what are you guys doing? Like, I'm not banned. So what are you doing over there? Why can't I get on and answer
right,
people?
Right.
You know, so yeah. Enough with the automated responses.
And everything is moving in that direction.
Everything.
I mean, this whole app, Fever, it's called, you cannot speak with a human being. You can open a ticket and they'll text you or they'll email you, but you can't. It's like, rather than waste my time typing this whole thing out again, can I talk to somebody?
Yes.
No.
It could be easily explained in like a minute.
Right.
And they can't do that, no, because they don't want to pay anybody or they, who knows why they want to do this. It's all about saving money.
Kay in the YouTube chat room said they couldn't G-O-G-H together. They couldn't go together. Get it? Van Gogh.
We will
go. Wait.
Oh, you're so grounded, Kay. Go to your room.
I just, you know, glanced up and saw that and like, yeah, okay, that was a good one. What else? Oh, I got a new bed. I got to tell you something. I got a mattress.
Topper, so
I got
there you go.
I got a mattress. And
that's pretty fancy.
I really
what
can't afford one. But okay, I got it's an Alexander Signature Hybrid. And let me explain.
Signature, not just a hybrid.
Not just a hybrid. It's made
signature.
By Nest Bedding.
Oh, yeah, Nest.
Do you know about them?
No.
I had never heard of them either. But here's the deal. You know about all those beds in the boxes that they have?
Yeah, it's a big thing. I've gotten.
And
yes.
They're good beds. I mean, they're really good. And they're very expensive. And as you know, I'm kind of poor at the moment. I can't afford. I have been sleeping on an air mattress for, I don't want to tell you how long.
Not
for
good for your
years.
Spine.
No, yeah. And my back and neck are fucked up. And finally, so this woman that I know, shared with me that she just got this new bed. She got a Puffy Luxe Hybrid or something. She said, oh my God, I had the best night of sleep that I've had in years. And
wow.
I said, what'd you get? So she said, I got this Puffy bed. Here's the deal.
Like
you know how they all have these, you know, 100 night or 365 night trial where you can try them out because you get it in the mail. It comes delivered to your house. You don't have a chance to try them out. So what do they do with the return mattresses? They can't sell them as new. But apparently there are some people who are sort of distributors of those. So basically I got a $1,500 mattress for $400.
Wow.
And it is the best I still don't sleep, but it's the most comfortable I've been in. And I wake up and my back doesn't hurt. It's like,
that's so good.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, we went to Costco and got a box and a bed.
Oh,
a bed and a box. A bed and a box.
Yeah. Which one did you get?
I don't even know.
You don't know.
I was 5 years ago.
Oh, gotcha.
And I don't even know where the label is on it. You know, like it's probably underneath somewhere, but
it's usually it's the foot of the bed right on the side.
Yeah. But we
can. Okay. Yeah.
It's a what do you call it? Where you touch it and it goes.
It's a memory foam.
Memory foam. See, I couldn't remember.
Well, these are like the next generation memory foam because it has it's a hybrid.
Right.
So it has the memory foam and the coils, and it's got support.
That's like the new trend now.
Firm, but it's soft, and it's like a cloud.
I just love. I mean, it was like you said, 400 for a California king. And you take it home and it just opens up.
Really? It was $400 for a California King?
That's, yeah, it was just
wow.
so cheap.
Wow.
And we, you know, we've had it all these years. And then finally, and we had a topper for it. We got a topper so it would elongate its life, you know, so that we wouldn't only be sleeping on the mattress and just, you know, because memory foam tends to eventually cave in a little.
Uh-huh.
Well, we just got a new topper because we were caving in a little after all these years.
Right.
And we went to Costco in a box and got a Tempur-Pedic.
Ooh, topper?
A Tempur-Pedic topper. Dirt cheap. It was like $150
wow.
bucks, whereas they charge like $400 in the
yes,
stores.
Yes, right.
And it's fantastic. It's so fantastic.
Right.
I'm so excited
well, check,
about this.
Check this out. My bed yeah. has its cool feature because it's like 12 layers or something, and they go
yeah,
through the whole
yeah,
of the construction.
Yeah.
The top layer is the foam, the memory foam.
Right.
It is in a
exactly.
zippered compartment so that if
Ooh.
My top layer wears out after, whatever, 10 years,
yeah,
5 years,
just
I can replace
one.
It.
Great.
How cool is that, right?
That's really good. Because you've got still got the springs working for you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So now, Pisces Bobby asked, did it help your restless leg syndrome? No. I was up all night last night. Amy Simon?
Yeah.
Her granddaughter is in town. They're here for 10 days. So she finally got to meet her grandbaby. And I saw this online at about 2:30 in the morning. She's like, doll, you awake? You want to talk? Like, well, I'll text you. I mean, I need to go to sleep, but I can't. But I was comfortable, except for my legs. The bed was comfortable, but my legs were still.
Yeah, but she at least had good news.
And yes, right? So,
that's
yeah.
Good, I, that's so
I
good.
Sleep, right? So,
oh, I love hearing that.
I know. It's really great. So you're not yeah. on Facebook. I was going to say, she'll look on Facebook because yeah. she's got pictures and everything. It's very cool.
Oh.
So she's cavelling because
I'll
she's a grandma and her first grandchild.
Memory will work.
Right.
Mm.
So that happened. That's
great.
My news.
That's good news.
Yeah. Well, I got a bed. And if my legs will cooperate, I'll be able to sleep at some point.
Well, I'm happy with mine. My little topper. Mm-hmm. It's like lying in a cloud.
Yeah.
And I nothing hurts. Like, and Mr. Laffy, who usually ends up waking up in pain,
uh-huh.
he said, I can't believe this. This is the first time in years I wake up and I'm not in pain anymore.
Right. David is
it's
saying,
amazing.
I've slept better than I've slept. My back doesn't hurt. I mean, it's what a difference
yeah,
a
really
good
is.
Mattress makes. So anybody yeah. who's in South Florida, if you're down here and you're interested, email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. I'm happy to pass along this woman's information. I don't know where she gets the mattresses from, but she had a whole bunch of them in her garage. And apparently, she's now got two warehouses full as well. And
she has
just
a line of watches up her arm, too.
No, that she doesn't know. But she does have the mattress. And it's everything. It's the purple. It's the, let's see, what else?
Did you get a chance to test the purple?
I didn't test the purple. Because honestly, the purple was so expensive. Even for the these, which are maybe a 25% to a third of the cost of the retail of, you know, what it would cost you new.
Yeah.
But even the purples were like in the $600 range, and it's like I
wondered because I have this little I don't know what it's a small version of purple. It's about 8 inches by 8 inches that a pot holder.
Oh wow!
That I got at like World Market or something, made out of that material.
Oh really?
Like years ago.
Wow!
And then I'm seeing these purple ads for the purple mattress, and it looks exactly like my pot holder. And so I was like, wow, that's cool. And it's so squishy and nice. And that's why I wondered if the purple mattresses were any good.
Yeah, I hear they're great, but they're very, you know, they're expensive.
Yeah.
There's another one called the Ghost Bed. That's really nice, really nice. So there's Helix. There was Nectar. I mean,
was there Casper?
I didn't see any Caspers there. So anyway, they're there. So if you're in South Florida and interested, just call me. I'll put you in touch with this woman. There've got to be other people around the country who do something similar.
Oh, you know they're doing
it.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that the manufacturers, some of them, the return mattresses, they donate, but obviously they can't donate them all. So again, you're getting a mattress that when you go to a hotel, mattress has been slept in. These are basically new and they do, you know, they clean them and everything. But,
right.
You know, for a quarter of the price, I couldn't afford one of these beds if
no,
not
that's
for
fantastic.
This. Isn't that a good
Congratulations
deal?
Congratulations on
Thank
your new addition.
Thank you. Now I just need to be able to sleep. And,
right.
Yeah, we'll be good to go.
Details.
I know.
So you want to do Tweeties?
Sure. All right. It's
I got
raining.
Lots of Tweeties.
Do you? Okay, then let's let loose the birdies. Watch out.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. So what are the Twitters all a-Twitter about today?
I should have coordinated my head movements with yours, but I didn't. So we banged heads on video. So there's this hearing going on that I left in the middle of because I had to do, you know, your show.
Right.
And it's about January 6th.
Oh, yes.
So, of course, the Democrats are asking all the right questions of Mike Flynn's brother and some of the officials that were involved and so on and so forth, and Christopher Wray and blah, blah. So then here's what my buddy Brandi Buckman, who I love. She's so
a courthouse reporter or something, right?
She does such good transcribey type reporting.
Yeah. Yep.
So she says, Republicans on the committee call for a motion to adjourn led by Representative Clay Higgins because lawmakers are forced to leave the hearing to go vote and then return. Higgins, Republican Louisiana, says this is unacceptable and wants to adjourn. Adjourn, you hear me? Adjourn. And then she says another GOP recalls to adjourn. Motions made while Representative Ro Khanna is questioning Ray Flynn and Piatt. Is that how you say it?
Oh, who?
Piatt? I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
More chatter, infighting. Yeah. Raskin, GOP doesn't have the floor. Khanna, we had an insurrection. We don't need disruptions here. Can we allow the democratic process to continue, please? Then Representative Khanna says, does it make your job harder to Ray? Does it make your job harder when lawmakers in this body are praising the protesters, some of them saluting, referring to Josh Hawley? Ray, I understand why you're asking the question, but it's best for me as FBI not to weigh in on certain people's rhetoric. So I take that as a yes.
Okay.
It pisses him off.
Yeah.
But that's what's going on. So the Democrats are trying to have a hearing and the Republicans are whining that they can't adjourn. And then they're infighting and then they're, you know, raising their voices. And it's the usual what they do every time there's a hearing.
Yeah. Right. Then they do that. And I don't know if you recall, Marjorie Taylor Greene was pulling this shit constantly. At every time the House would convene, she'd make a motion to adjourn and hold everything up for a couple of hours because they have to do a roll call vote. And half the place was out because of COVID and voting via proxy. So a vote that used to take, you know, a half hour was taking like an hour and a half. But she kept doing that shit.
Of course, they'll do anything to just, it's just like they're doing on a larger scale by, you know, holding up subpoenas and stuff. They just keep drawing it out and drawing it out. Yep. So it'll go away.
Yeah. By the way, did you hear about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
I did. You want to talk about it?
Sure. Because I have the audio here. Actually, I've got two clips from her.
Okay. Because I haven't heard it yet. I've just read about it.
Oh, really? Because if you listen to the first one, you're going to think, oh, she's seen the light. No.
I wouldn't think at all ever about her. It's just bullshit.
Okay. So you want to talk? So she came under fire, obviously, because of her ridiculous statement saying that, you know, the vaccine is just like the Holocaust.
Yes.
And it's
stars you have to wear.
Right. That woman at that hat store in New Orleans to make those stars saying not vaccinated or some bullshit like that. Well, apparently somebody told her, get your ass to the Holocaust Museum. And so she went and got in front of the microphones yesterday. And here's what she said.
Donald, you told me if
wrong one. Sorry. That was better than her hearing her. Because her voice is kind of like this.
Always want to remind everyone, I'm very much a normal person.
Oh, she's a normal person.
I think it's important for me to always be transparent and honest.
Yeah, because she's so
and
honest.
And I just want to tell you all, I'm really, really lucky. I was blessed with amazing parents. And my dad just passed away in April. But I will say he taught me some great things. And one of the best lessons that my father always taught me was when you make a mistake, you should own it. And I have made a mistake, and it's really bothered me for a couple of weeks now. And so I definitely want to own it. This afternoon, I visited the Holocaust Museum. The Holocaust is, there's nothing comparable to it. It happened and, you know, over 6 million Jewish people were murdered. More than that, there were not just Jewish people, black people, Christians, all kinds of children, people that the Nazis didn't believe were good enough or perfect enough.
Okay.
And the horrors of the Holocaust are something that some people don't even believe happened. Some people deny that
there
is no comparison to the Holocaust. And there are words that I have said, remarks that I've made that I know are offensive.
Okay. Okay. So there's her apology. Everything she says is offensive. So you got to wonder. Okay. What's behind this? I know.
By the way, and I like the way she said Jews and blacks, as if there can't be black Jews.
Right. Of course not. Never. But
people don't seem to realize that Jews can be, you know, they're diverse.
Of course. And Sammy Davis Jr. Just saying.
Yes.
Dating myself again. So that comes in the news today, right? So it's like, oh, maybe she's trying to like become a member of society. Maybe she's trying not to be a hateful, horrible, I was going to use a word that I don't often use, bitch.
Yeah.
I'll just say bitch.
Right.
And then I open Roth's story and I see that Marjorie Taylor Greene today was on a radio show with, what's his name? Steve Bannon. Is it Steve Bannon?
Yes.
Steve Bannon.
Yes, I think it was Steve Bannon.
Okay, so I just got to play for you a couple of seconds of this. Because if you think she sounded almost reasonable there, wait till you hear this. This is just a love fest. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Steve Bannon. Oh my God, talk about a deplorable convention.
Got to go with you. I know you've
been. I want to go with you on this for a minute.
I know you've been very upset about this and the treatment of people and Ashley Babbitt, but today you see the
commissars Ashley Babbitt
for the American military.
Yeah, I've been watching his comments on the screen behind you, Merrick Garland, and here's the real concern. What is domestic terrorism? So, I mean, define this. You know, here we have Antifa BLM.
No, you
that
don't.
Terrorized American citizens.
No, they didn't.
For the year. I mean, imagine the summer of past summer.
Oh, my God.
They burned.
A year ago.
That's all you need to hear. Antifa and BLM. There is no such thing as Antifa. And Black Lives Matter grew out of, it's a protest, grew out of peaceful protests. And yeah, maybe in some cities it got ugly, but after they were beaten down by the militarized police forces. So she's not
it's
reasonable.
Like, no, and this happens a whole lot when crazy Republicans apologize, because it never lasts. It either is buttressed by things that are not apologetic at all and negate everything.
Hello. Yep.
Or they come out like she did a second later and say something that totally contradicts the apology. So
exactly.
When people started tweeting about it, she apologized. I'm like, no, she didn't.
Yeah.
No. I'm not even going to give that any. I didn't even bother to.
That
tweet
is not
it.
An apology. That is
right.
Not an apology.
Bullshit. Yes. Bullshit. It's bullshit. All right. So here's a totally off topic thing.
Okay.
So Empty Wheel tweeted, she posted a photo of the 3%er Russell Taylor, who was having a detention hearing. All the stuff he brought to the insurrection.
Okay.
And there's this big pile, like there's, you know, backpack and a Trump 2020 sticker, a helmet, a couple of axes. Oh, I don't know, some knives, you know, some really like awful weapons. And Spocko, our buddy Spocko.
Yes, Spocko. Yeah.
He said, when people show up in Georgia to threaten election officials and folks like the Raffensperger's, they can also legally carry guns. DC gun laws made a difference. And speaking of that, I don't have a tweet for this, but as I was reading Brandy's thread about this insurrection hearing, the Republicans were demanding to know the name of the officer who shot
Ashley Babbitt. Right.
Babbitt. And they were saying, we want his name. She was executed. He was laying in wait.
Oh, my God. They broke through. Okay. There were armed police guarding the House of Representatives, which was in session. There were members of Congress back behind those doors. This crowd of armed insurrectionists was breaking through the door. Somebody broke the glass in the door, and Ashley Babbitt was going through the broken glass when the cop standing there with a gun, who they could clearly see, did his job. She wasn't executed. They were protecting the members of Congress. The opposite world nature of these people is just astounding.
Yeah, because they can't afford to admit. Because the minute they accept anything that anybody else says, they're guilty.
Right,
so there
you
go.
And now they're pushing on that this, it was, you know, it was all, quote, Antifa and BLM. It was not Trump supporters. That was a false flag.
Yeah, except for the part where they, in court, admitted to being Trump supporters.
Right, of course. They're all
Trump
supporters.
Got orders from Trump to, you know, have an insurrection.
Yep.
And they used the word insurrection. So, yeah, that, you know, kind of. Yep. Screws their little argument there.
Yeah.
Okay. So Igor Bobik.
Yes.
Igor Bobik. He reported that Manchin and Sinema, you know, my two favorite people.
Oh, yeah. Mine too.
Mm-hmm. They're a cute couple, aren't they? Wouldn't they be adorable like at a prom?
Oh,
a
yeah.
A prom for
yeah.
awful people. Manchin and Sinema were not in the room for their presentation on voting rights at today's lunch, Texas Democrats.
Seriously. So let me
they
get this straight.
There.
So Kyrsten Sinema didn't bother to show up for the vote on on having a January 6th commission. And now she couldn't be bothered to show up for a presentation on the importance of the voting rights.
Because, you know, democracy isn't on their to-do list. They don't have that down on their agenda. So they just, you know, they fail to show up.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, the Texas Democrats went all the way to D.C. They were the ones with the courage and the creativity to get up and leave and stop this stupid law, at least temporarily, at the very least. They're threatening to go out of state next time.
Wow. Well, remember, do you remember when the Wisconsin Democrats
did
that?
Yes, I do. I covered that.
And in fact, Chris Larson, who was the head of the Wisconsin Senate Democrats, is running, I believe, against Ron Johnson for Senate.
Is
for action.
He?
Yes. And in fact, I meant to ask Howie about that on Thursday. I will make a note of it to talk to him this Thursday about it. Because, Chris Larson, I noticed, is running. And he is a Blue America endorsee. So he's one of Howie's guys.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good hearing that.
Yep.
Here's another Joe Manchin thing. This is from Sahil Kapoor.
Okay.
Senator Joe Manchin says he still favors the Hyde Amendment despite Biden's call in his budget to eliminate it. Quote, I support the Hyde. I've always supported the Hyde Amendment, he said. The Hyde restrictions on funding aren't going anywhere without his vote to act.
Are you kidding me? You know,
he doesn't. He's I can't. I mean,
the Hyde Amendment, for anybody who doesn't know, says no federal dollars can go to pay for abortions. That's basically what the Hyde Amendment is.
And this is in spite of Biden saying he wants to get rid of it.
Right. And Biden, who is a devout Catholic and personally, you know, is not in favor of abortion. He understands that a woman has a right to do with her body. And these fucking hypocrites, they're taking the language of choice, our women's language of choice to do with our bodies, and applying it when it comes to vaccines.
To vaccinations. It's so stupid.
Oh, God, it makes me so angry. My abortion wouldn't have any effect on you, stranger walking down the street. But if you don't get a vaccine, if you don't get a vaccine and you're infected, that will have an effect on me.
Of course. Of course.
Saying.
You don't have to wear a mask to have a baby or not have a baby.
Right.
It's not catching.
Right.
It would be weird if it was, though.
It
if I
would.
Rub you and you got pregnant.
Well,
that would be weird.
The rubbing could, you know, does work in that.
Or breathing on you.
Right. Breathing.
Ooh,
droplets. Droplets. If droplets could get you pregnant.
Little baby droplets.
Yes.
XL Professor.
Swimmers. Yes.
Who is a person. Politics and television, but not politics on television, says his bio. He's responding. Okay, he's responding to Greg Sargent talking about, I'll read you Greg's tweet. House Democrats just released new info detailing Trump's corrupt pressure on Jeffrey Rosen, Barr's replacement, to use DOJ to subvert the election. Remember that story from this morning?
Oh, yes.
This will get worse. Sources tell me Rosen is in talks about sitting for an interview. He can tell us much more, although in the article that I read, if he doesn't decide to sit for an interview, it may take years to get him to, just like it did with Don McGahn.
Right.
So Excel professor says Trump tried state legislatures, state courts, SCOTUS, that's Supreme Court, Department of Justice, Congress, the vice president, and a mob to overturn the election. The only reason he didn't try a military coup is because he knew they wouldn't support him. He tried quite literally everything else.
Everything.
Think about that.
And you know,
mansion.
More stuff is coming out. You're hearing all the stories about how he was trying to strong arm the Justice Department. And they're all making excuses for them. Why do they want to keep investigating this? It's like they're just, it's a witch hunt. No, it isn't. And can you look at what they did with Benghazi? There was no there. And they went for years on how many hearings on Benghazi? There was nothing there.
Because they're Republicans. It's
exactly.
Okay. I-O-K-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
Right. I know.
Greg Sargent goes on to say, these revelations also vividly, and he's, I'm going to read you the revelations.
Okay.
These revelations also vividly demonstrate how bad the ongoing GOP cover-up truly is. Trump fully intended to remain in power illegitimately through illicit means. When that failed, he tried to do so with mob violence. This is what the other guy said.
Yeah.
This is what the GOP wants buried. And here's what he put up. Here's the larger, this is from Washington Post.
Okay.
Here's the larger context. Republicans are still refusing to agree to a bipartisan commission to examine the January 6th insurrection. This is coming amid widespread claims by Trump and his propagandists that the violence, in italics, wasn't really all that bad, which is what you were just saying, that he didn't actually intend for the mob he incited to subvert the election's peaceful conclusion through intimidation and violence. There's more. This newly, got to move this out of the way so I can read it to you. Eeks, I got to make you small for a second here. This newly revealed pressure on the Justice Department came in the days leading right up to that incitement. The more it's revealed that Trump absolutely did fully intend to subvert the election via corrupt and illicit means to remain in power illegitimately, the harder it is to deny what we all saw, with our own eyes.
Yep.
After failing to accomplish that via his bottomless efforts to corrupt the process, Trump attempted to complete the task with mob political violence. That's what happened. And the more we learn, the worse it will be.
Yeah.
Period. End of sentence. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what it is. That's who they are and what they do. And it is frightening. You know, I talk about opposite world all the time. And when I coined the phrase, it wasn't anywhere near what we're living through now. But it's all I can. Every time one of them opens their mouth, I think we've entered you know, through the portal into opposite world.
We coined it
everything
together, but you didn't
you
know
knew,
that.
You never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
They live in their own reality, and there's nothing real about it. I mean, it's like, you know, did you see the thing, the $1,200 tickets that they're selling to these maggot idiots for the August, I was going to say coronation, inauguration of Donald Trump? Did you see that?
No,
they have actual
tickets.
I'm going to find the graphic.
Now he's having a rally next month. Yes.
Do we know where?
Yeah, but I'm not going to. I tweeted. I can look
I
it up,
you.
But it's like Ohio or somewhere. I don't remember.
I
can look it up for you.
It's astounding. All right. Yeah.
Here and if anyone covers it, live.
Yeah.
People will talk about it, of course. But
well, Fox
nobody
will
should,
and OAN and
well,
Newsmax.
But they're not news. But I
no.
mean, if anybody. They shouldn't even show clips. They really shouldn't. They can read quotes.
Yep.
They don't need to show clips of him. That's just feeding into his little sick ego.
Agreed. Here. Okay. I'm going to show you the picture in a second. I mean, these are actual like Ticketmaster tickets. They are real tickets. Here. Here's from Crooks and Liars. And it says, the second inauguration of Donald Trump as president of the United States, August 15th, 2021, in front of the Capitol steps. Special
so
music.
So we're going to have, that's when we're having our second insurrection.
Yes. Special musical.
They're selling tickets. They're selling tickets to an insurrection.
Yes. The price on the ticket is $1,200. They have seats and everything. It says this is row N, seat 216, adult P7, whatever.
Who's paying for all this?
I don't
know. Special. I mean, other than the people buying the tickets, the idiots.
Yeah,
but
right. They're the only ones. Special musical guest stars, Ted Nugent and Kid Rock.
Okay. Well, that's not music. But
I know. But these are actual printed tickets. And let me read to you what it says here. It says, new MAGA scam is underway, and it involves President Biden being removed from office and traitor Trump being inaugurated in August of 2021. Let me put us back up. The Trump campaign has already been caught bilking small donors by putting them on recurring schedule of donations without their knowledge. Trump pardoned Steve Bannon for cheating Trump supporters out of their money on the bogus We Build the Wall scam that netted Bannon a cool $1 million. And now we see another MAGA grift taking place on Facebook. Someone is selling tickets for seats in front of the Capitol steps for the second inauguration of traitor Trump on August 15th, 2021.
But this is to me, I mean, I understand how they're selling it, but to me, this is an invitation for the second insurrection.
That's certainly what it sounds like. And these idiots, these Q people who haven't quite gotten the memo yet that it's a scam, they're shelling out $1,200 for these tickets.
Let them lose their money.
I know. Good. I hope they
Let's
show
just hope
up.
That they surround the area with as many military type officer type protection that they need, and that nobody's in that building. Here's something that's just pissing me off. And you and I talked about this. I'll just read you my tweet. Okay. I understand that interviewing Putin is a get. Uh-huh. I do. I get that. He's like, that's like a big coup interview, you know.
Yeah.
But giving him the spotlight every hour for 2 days, or no, it's been 3 or 4 days now.
Right now.
It just elevates him, and he needs to be squashed like a bug. I don't know if the other stations, if CNN is doing this, but of course MSNBC is because NBC
did the interview. But apparently, and of course I don't watch Fox, but in reading these websites, the Crooks and Liars and the Raw Story and, you know, like that, apparently Fox is just all full of praise for Putin and put downs for Biden, that they are doing Putin's bidding in dissing the president and building up, you know, the Russian dictator.
I can't stand it. Oh God. I don't know how we solve this problem. I mean, this goes beyond, I mean, I have this whole thing about voting, which we're probably going to get into in a second, but I don't know how we solve the problem.
I don't either. But here's the thing, Donald Trump, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, by insisting that he won, that the election was fixed and stolen from him, and saying he's going to come back in August and, you know, take his rightful place back in the Oval Office. He's talking about a coup. There is no mechanism in the Constitution or anywhere in our history for an election that's been certified to be overturned and for a former president to be reinstated. It doesn't exist. So what he's talking about is a coup.
Right.
He's talking about a coup. He's saying it in the open. Why doesn't law enforcement get involved here?
I guess they're going to use the freedom of speech thing again.
But there is a point.
I know.
You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That nullifies freedom of speech. Planning an insurrection, telling people that you're the legitimate president of the United States when in fact you lost the election, that's not a free speech issue. I don't know what it is.
I honestly think it's because they say, well, since it's not legal and it's not going to happen, he's raving and ranting and nothing will happen. But now that you're telling me they have $1,200 tickets to be, you know, taking place in front of the Capitol and all of that, that to me tells me It's another planned insurrection, and his words now are not just raving lunatic words that they can somehow shrug off.
They are planning another
invitation.
Event
it's another
in
invitation
DC to have people come out who want to upend our government, who want to overthrow.
Right. So this
the current
time,
government.
Instead of saying it's going to be wild, he just leaves those words out.
Yep.
And he assumes that nobody is going to get mad at him anymore because he's not saying it's going to be wild and violent. I'm just inviting you to come to my inauguration. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, right.
Ugh.
Right.
And he'll get away with it.
I
don't know.
Yeah. And the thing is, with Merrick Garland being the chief law enforcement officer in the land, we're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I was never thrilled about him to begin with.
Well, I
love the poetic justice of it. That made me very happy.
Right.
But I was never thrilled with him when he was nominated for SCOTUS.
Yep.
I suspected this kind of thing that, you know, all these things he's been doing would happen, but I didn't realize how bad it would be.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, the thing with E. Jean Carroll, I just want to scream.
Oh my God. No idea.
Anyway, so Keith Boykin has a tweet out where he's venting, and he said Mitch McConnell will block any Biden nominee for the Supreme Court if Republicans control the Senate by 2024. Now tell Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema that bipartisanship is a lie and the filibuster must be eliminated, and tell Stephen Breyer to retire.
Mm-hmm. Really? I mean,
is
now more
taking
than
this
ever.
Stuff seriously?
Right.
And meanwhile, Igor Volsky's response is, This is court packing. He does that like a dozen times. And then he says in parentheses, and how will Dems respond to it?
Oh God.
And that's the problem.
Right.
And by the way, nobody has yet answered my question about that HR1. Well, I'm going to get into that with you.
Okay.
I'm going to get into that.
But you brought up Mitch McConnell and the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And
yes.
He said it out loud. What more do you need?
If you regain the majority in 2022 for the Republicans, and there's a very good chance of that happening, I'll come back to the individual races in a second. Would the rule that you applied in 2016 to the Scalia vacancy apply in 2024 to any vacancy that occurred then?
Well, I think in the middle of a presidential election, if you have a Senate of the opposite party of the president, you have to go back to the 1880s to find the last time.
He's just making up things here.
Oh, of course.
I think it's highly unlikely.
It's not a precedent. No, there's nothing about the party in power.
Either party, if it controlled, if it were different from the president, would confirm a Supreme Court nominee in the middle of an election.
That's bullshit. It is such
bullshit,
but they make up the scenario to fit their purposes.
Well, Schooley had a thing or two to say about it. He said, while I have no doubt McConnell would be delighted to block a Biden justice, I also think teasing his intent this way reignites all the expand the court pressure, which is definitely a, quote, radical idea, unquote, the GOP wants to run against next year. Mitch thinks getting the Dem base fired up on yet another obviously necessary move that Joe Manchin will kill is a win for his side. If protecting voting rights is impossible, I'm not sure how we get to expand the court in the next year. Exactly. Impossible.
Impossible.
Oh, my God.
Right. Now he's saying, basically, he's saying that, sorry, there is no scenario in which, if I am the majority leader, no scenario in which another Democrat will ever put a justice on the Supreme Court. That's what he's saying. And again, the Democrats are going,
ever.
What are we going to do about this?
Exactly. Okay. So I'm listening to him. This is a tweet I'm just going to say it. I was listening to MSNBC in my car, so I wasn't 100% sure of whose voice it was, but I'm pretty sure it was Representative Clyburn. And he was going on about how HR1 would stop the GOP legislatures, you know, in all the states, from throwing out the elections. And that's not true. And I'm quoting this from Vox, and I could go read it to you, but the quote is, the bill has very little to do with Trump's post-election actions, such as trying to block certification of results, overturn the outcome. The two bills, HR1 and HR4, were done prior to this multi-state attempt to take over elections
with the fraud and all this
stuff.
Right.
The fraud and stuff. And so even if we had a, I keep saying this every day, actually, if Dems have a big landslide, a big blue wave, it would be moot.
Yes.
Because so many states could nullify those. Mm-hmm. Nobody has addressed that. And those people who say that H.R. 1 and H.R. 4 or H.R. 4 will cover either, you know, either of those will cover that, they don't.
Right.
They were written before all this happened. So somebody tell me how we deal with overturning elections, because nobody has explained that to me yet.
And I don't think they know. And Democratic leadership sucks.
Oh.
We don't have a bench. We've got inept people in charge. It's frightening. It's really scary because we're watching these blatant attempts to overturn democracy, to overthrow
right.
our government.
Literally.
Literally.
Kill
and
it.
They're going, well, we're going to have a committee and we'll take a vote and we got the filibuster and it, hello. You know, these are special times. They call for special measures. This is
yes.
not normal in any sense. There's
no.
nothing normal here. By the way, it's along these lines. Have you ever heard of the term pipe hitter? To me, a pipe hitter is somebody who's like smoking crack, right? They hit the pipe. Right. Well, Mike Pompeo tweeted out calling all unapologetic Americans to join me and become a pipe hitter.
The fuck is that?
OK, well, here it is from Cav Pack, the Champion American Values Pack. Pipe hitter, noun, someone who is unapologetically American, someone who fights for our future, someone who never gives an inch, someone who is dedicated to stand against the radical left's agenda. That's what a pipe hitter is. So,
lovely term.
Right. Do you remember the Twitter account Limericking?
Yes.
Well, Limericking is back. I hadn't seen them in a while and they seem to be back now. And here's they've got a new one just from an hour ago. It says, Pompeo is standing on guard for freedom, uncut and unbarred. If you're of his type, go pick up that pipe and join him in hitting it hard.
And here's what LOL GOP has to say. Josh Jossi said Trump is attacking Pennsylvania state senators by name for not doing enough to back a 2020 election audit there. Fraud it, he should have said. And saying they will lose if they don't support his push. And LOL GOP rightly says, Republicans who opposed the coup have suffered more consequences than the ones who backed it. So they punished their own for not supporting a coup, and Democrats sit on their and then he goes on to say, my point here is that Democrats are incapable of delivering consequences.
Because it's
opposite Republicans
world.
Can destroy you for, say, being a woman who used email.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I mean, do something.
Right.
I don't know what they could do, but there's something. I mean, they can do.
I don't know.
You know, they can
something.
They can do something that might even get them in a little, you know, trouble where they'd have to explain it and go. But it would be something.
Right.
Stop these people, because nothing. If they can overturn an election, then game over.
I know.
Nothing else would matter.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter if our friend Guy Saperstein is right or not. Even if we come
right.
out, you know, and you know, the number of registered Republicans has dropped to the lowest point in decades. But if they openly cheat, and, you know, they're doing it because they accuse us of doing it, and it's pure projection. They are
right.
saying what they're actually doing. They come up with this shit because they think it up because they've been doing it. Yeah.
It's always that way. They always do that. It's always projection.
I know.
And Trump is, as I used to say, my motto every day when Trump was in office was everything out of Trump's mouth is a lie and or projection. It got to the point where my phone anticipated everything I was going to write when I said that.
Right.
And they put it up for me. Thank you, phone.
Hello.
You've gotten to know me.
Yep.
I love you.
I got you.
I have a relationship with my phone.
We didn't even get to the ERCOT spokesperson.
I know.
And we're like out of time already. Wow.
Sorry.
You got a final tweet to take us out?
No, I had it and I got rid of it.
Oh,
it wasn't...
okay. So then, you know what? We've got a minute left. ERCOT is the Texas power grid thing. Well, apparently they're poised for blackouts again because it's all fucked up. So the ERCOT spokesperson put out a video, and it's supposed to be used. We're probably going to run into the end of Progressive Voices. So Progressive Voices, enjoy. This is the ERCOT spokesperson with a prepackaged message for your local newscast.
That's right. And thank you so much for having me. You know, we got a tight, hot little grid out there. And we got to take care of it or it's going to bust. Okay. And we can't be having that. That'll be a mess. So we're just asking the people of Texas to make small sacrifices, just little sacrifices, no blood or anything like that. Yeah. You know, there's that old saying, you can't have the rainbow without the rain, right? Well, you can't have light without, until we figure out what's going on out there. Okay. Cause Texas is set up on a power grid and what a power grid, it's something different to everybody, and that's what you got to understand. I mean, would you rather have AC or would you rather have AOC? Think about that for a little bit.
Think about that.
So really all we're asking the people of Texas to do is to unplug. Just unplug, just relax. You know, everybody's got to unplug sometimes. And if you don't unplug, God's going to find a way to make you unplug. And, you know, in this scenario, we are God.
In the scenario, we are God. That is Blair Erskine, and she is just fucking hysterical. I've played a couple of her bits before, and a couple of times people in the chat room have thought she's real because she comes across as so ditzy. She's a typical Trumper. But yeah, I think, and don't quote me on it, but I believe she's Walter Schaub's daughter.
Well, if she has half his brain, she's brilliant. Uh-huh. So he's pretty good. You know, even if you don't agree with him on everything, he's still really smart.
Yes. Former ethics guy under, Bush. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we've run over. So Progressive Voices is gone. Got a laugh. Always a pleasure. This hour flew by.
Same here. Have a good mattress sleep tonight.
Oh, God, I will try. Legs.
You got to do something about them legs.
I know. Restless leg syndrome, in case anybody is wondering. All right. Laffy, thank you, as always. I'm going to leave everybody with the news because I got a what's news segment here. So we'll go out with that. Bye. I'll talk to you later. We'll see you on the Twitters.
Okay.
Okay. And for everyone else, I'll leave you with the news.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
If it's Tuesday, this must be Belgium. More specifically, Brussels. That's where President Joe Biden is participating in the U.S.-EU summit on Tuesday after the NATO meeting wrapped up. Biden and EU leaders discussing a range of topics aimed at strengthening transatlantic ties, including global health security, global economic recovery, climate crisis solutions, and trade cooperation. During Monday's NATO summit, members issued a communique highlighting the, quote, threat presented by Russia and the, quote, challenges posed by China. They also largely supported the U.S. decision to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. Biden met with Turkish President Erdogan afterward, adding to his list of one-on-ones with heads of state during this international trip. And after Tuesday's meeting with the Belgian king, it's Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday. One simmering controversy concerns Ukraine. As Ukrainian President Zelensky tweeted on Monday, quote, commend NATO partners' understanding of all the risks and challenges we face. NATO leaders confirmed that Ukraine will become a member of the alliance and the MAP is an integral part of the membership process. Ukraine deserves due appreciation of its role in ensuring Euro-Atlantic security. But President Biden, in his Monday press conference, denied the claim, saying that they still have to meet certain criteria to be admitted, and added that it's not up to him, but the NATO alliance, who will decide by vote. Back at home, depending on who's talking, momentum in the Senate is either behind the $1.2 trillion infrastructure proposal, or it's dead on arrival. Politico's reporting that Chuck Schumer has argued to his members that they can do infrastructure in two steps. First, passing a more modest bipartisan bill to satisfy Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, then going big with Democrats only to take on climate, expanded social welfare programs, and corporate tax reforms via reconciliation. And therein lies the problem. Neither Manchin nor Sinema would commit
to supporting the second part, which is what Bernie Sanders is demanding. And on the other side, Sanders has announced that he's a hard no on that tentative bipartisan deal. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, Republicans continue trying to gaslight the nation over the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Well, on Tuesday, the House Oversight Committee is releasing a timeline of the calls for help that day. NBC's Scott McFarlane jumped the gun by tweeting the details Tuesday night. And basically, it goes like this. At 1:34 p.m., D.C. Mayor Bowser asked for, quote, additional forces. 1:49 p.m., Capitol Police Chief makes frantic call to guard, citing dire emergency. At 2:10 p.m., the Capitol Police Chief asks for, quote, immediate assistance. 2:19 p.m., D.C. Homeland Security Director Chris Rodriguez advises the guard windows are being broken at the Capitol, requests guard. 2:25 p.m., Capitol Police Chief requests immediate assistance, joins in a conference call with D.C. officials and military. 2:36 p.m. on call, Capitol Police Chief asks again. 2:40 p.m. on call, Capitol Police Chief asks again. 2:42 p.m. on call, D.C. Police Chief Robert Conti asks for guard. 3:26, Capitol Police Chief calls National Guard again and asks for immediate assistance again. 3:46, Capitol Police Chief calls National Guard again and asks for immediate assistance again. 4:22 p.m., Capitol Police Chief makes verbal request to National Guard again for support. 4:23 p.m., Capitol Police Chief writes memo to National Guard seeking help. That is 12 requests for National Guard help. The House Oversight Committee says its findings show Army leaders told the National Guard to stand by five times as the attacks unfolded. Wow. So think back to February 2016. Barack Obama was still president and Mitch McConnell was Senate Majority Leader when Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died. McConnell blocked then-President Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland to fill Scalia's seat. He held that seat open for 9 months until after the presidential election, at which point they confirmed Neil Gorsuch to the court. Then Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died in September of 2020, just 45 days before the November elections. Well, that didn't stop McConnell. He turned around and put forward ultra-conservative Amy Coney Barrett. And now he's doing it again. Mitch McConnell appeared Monday on Hugh Hewitt's radio show and said that if Republicans reclaim control of the Senate in the 2022 midterms, it's highly unlikely they'll confirm anyone that Biden nominates to the court.
I think it's highly unlikely. In fact, no, I don't think either party, if it controlled, if it were different from the president, would confirm a Supreme Court nominee in the middle of an election. What was different in 2020 was we were of the same party as the president.
Yeah.
And that's why we went ahead.
Wow. Some progressives and others are urging liberal Justice Stephen Breyer, who's now 82 years old, to retire now while Democrats still control the Senate. As the planet attempts to put COVID behind us, a few reminders that we're not out of the woods yet, even if Stephen Colbert is back on the stage in front of a live audience. The United States coronavirus death toll passing 600,000 on Tuesday. Reaching this tragic milestone even as infection and death rates are falling and the economy reopens. Now, the U.S. total amounts to about 15% of COVID-19 deaths worldwide. President Biden acknowledged the milestone during his visit to Europe, saying that while new cases and deaths are dropping dramatically in the U.S., there's still too many lives being lost. Well, better late than never, I guess. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's long been spouting anti-Semitic tropes with awful messages like this,
where people were told to wear a gold star and they were definitely treated like second-class citizens, so much so that they were put in trains and taken to gas chambers in Nazi Germany. And this is exactly the type of abuse that Nancy Pelosi is talking about.
Made a statement Monday afternoon saying that she's sorry for comparing health recommendations during the pandemic to the Holocaust.
This afternoon, I visited the Holocaust Museum. The Holocaust is, there's there's nothing comparable to it. It happened, and you know, over 6 million Jewish people were murdered. More than that, there were not just Jewish people, black people, Christians, all kinds of children, people that the Nazis didn't believe were good enough or perfect enough. And the horrors of the Holocaust are something that some people don't even believe happened, and some people deny, but there is no comparison to the Holocaust. And there are words that I have said, remarks that I've made, that I know are offensive, and for that I want to apologize.
Yeah, apparently the QAnon conspiracy theorist visited the Holocaust Museum and said she had learned more about the horrors of the Nazi genocide against the Jewish people. Things that she should have learned in public school. Education works. Just saying. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.